Historically, in our country, April 15th has been the day by which we have to file our income taxes, both federal and state. This year, because of the coronavirus, that was extended. And so we had an elongated, if you want to call it, a tax season. And so that may have caused a little bit of that to still be on our minds. And when we deal with that task, taxes, our minds kind of turn to a mode of looking for legal loopholes or deductions we can use to ease that tax burden as much as we can. Seems like some of the biggest and most complicated businesses seem to be able to find some of the biggest and most productive loopholes. And that's okay. That is perfectly legal. It's perfectly acceptable when you're talking about the tax realm. But it does not fly when it comes to our spiritual walk. There are saints that seem to think or seem to look for ways they can get an exception to do something they like to do, even though they know that they're not supposed to do that, really can't do that. They still look for exceptions, loopholes. So let's look at loopholes. A loophole, the dictionary definition says, it's a means of escape or evasion, a means of or opportunity of evading a rule, law, etc. And they give the example, like we said, of loopholes in the tax laws whereby we can save money. But I think one of the most illustrative biblical examples comes from Mark chapter 7. Jesus was addressing the Pharisees there, and beginning in verse 8, he says, "For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, washing of pitchers and cups and many other such things you do." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death.'" You think maybe that was important to God, to honor your father and mother? "But you say, 'If a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift to God, 'and then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition which you have handed down, and many such things you do.'" You see, these folks knew the law required them to honor their parents. And they were certainly to care for them. But they didn't want to do that. So they created for themselves a loophole. Or so they thought. See, Jesus is calling out their hypocrisy, saying, in effect, you thought you found a loophole, but that's not going to work. You see, when God tells us his requirements, when he gives us his requirements, he does not allow loopholes. Saul thought he had found a loophole, didn't he, in 1 Samuel chapter 15, where Samuel told him there in verse 3, "Now, go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox, sheep, camel, and donkey." That pretty much covers it. Looks like, though, they didn't want to do what Samuel had told them. Verse 8, it says, "He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxens, fatlings, lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. And we know what happened. Verse 13, Samuel went to Saul. Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord." But Samuel said, "What then? Is this bleating of sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. The rest we utterly destroyed." So there's Saul's loophole he thinks he found. "We spared them," he said, to sacrifice to the Lord. So how'd that work out? Verse 18, "Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" Then verse 22, Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of the rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." A lot of times we talk about idolatry, and we look at the pagan worshiping of man-made gods and things. Right here, Samuel says, stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Does idolatry still exist? Anyway, "Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he's also rejected you from being king. God does not allow loopholes." You may think you have a loophole when you talk about others behind their backs. You know, everybody knows they did that anyway, right? And I didn't mean anything by it. You have to be very careful, because the Bible is very clear on this. Paul was talking about the widows in 1 Timothy chapter 5, and he says at verse 11, "Refuse the younger widows, for when they begin to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, having condemnation because they've cast off their first faith. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not." We think we see a loophole when we don't show up for scheduled services. You know, the kids have soccer, baseball, football, tumbling, choir, band, play, anything. And we're supposed to take care of them, right? The family is very important to God. Right? Of course it is. Look what he says in Ephesians 6 at chapter 4. "And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." The admonition of the Lord. In Hebrews 10:24, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another." So much more as you see the day approaching. Training and admonition of the Lord. What about exceptions? Something accepted. I hate it when they use the same word to define something as the word. Anyway, an instance or case not conforming to the general rule. You know, God gave very explicit instructions to the children of Israel regarding how to build and how to transport the Ark of the Covenant. In Exodus 25, verse 10, "And they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width, and 1.5 cubits its height, and you shall overlay it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it, and shall make on it a molding of gold all around, and you shall cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in its 4 corners, 2 rings on one side and 2 rings on the other side. And you shall make poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold. You shall put poles into the rings on the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried." That's pretty explicit. So we know the ark was captured by the Philistines, and their god Dagon was destroyed because of the presence of the ark. And much harm came to them during the 7 months that they kept it. So they sent it back to the Israelites, and it came to rest in the house of Abinadab, where it remained for 20 years. David becomes king, and he decides to fetch that Ark of the Covenant back to the city of David, although it did take a little rest at the home of Obed-Edom. In 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 3, "They set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which is on the hill, accompanying the Ark of God. And Ahio went before the Ark. Then David and all his house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, harps, stringed instruments, tambourines, sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God." They were not to touch that ark. They were to move that ark with poles through the rings on each side. But surely there would be an exception if the ark were to fall off a cart where it was never supposed to be in the first place. Surely God would want us to put our hand up there and keep the ark from falling off. It doesn't work that way. Sacrifice as good as obeying. Of course, we remember Nadab and Abihu, Leviticus chapter 10, when Nadab and Abihu, sons of Aaron, each took his censer, put fire in it, put incense on it, offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. We don't know precisely and exactly why that was profane fire. But what we can clearly see, what we can know, is God did not allow them an exception. And so, do we see exceptions for ourselves when we are to give of our means? You know, I really don't make very much, so God maybe wouldn't expect me to give of my means. 1 Corinthians 16:2. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him." See, God has prospered us all. Some more, some not as much, but he has prospered us all. And that's what he requires from us, that we lay by in store as he has prospered us. When we need to use our talents to serve God. You know, I'm going to talk about teaching Bible classes, especially particularly the adult Bible class. I kind of trip over that every once in a while because Randy mentioned a while ago getting older, and I'm getting older, and I'm getting slower. And it takes me at least twice as long nowadays to study and organize and put together a class so that people can understand it in a Bible class. And yet, surely God would give me an exception, right? Oh, you're old, you don't need to do that anymore. But see, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. For some reason, I don't know if I'm able to do that or they just ask me because nobody else will do it. But anyway, you can't take an exception. You have to do it. It takes you twice as long. And so I'll gladly do that. What about teaching the lost? Do we make an exception for that? After all, you know, I'm really a shy person. Not very good at talking to people one-on-one. Not very good at approaching people. What if they ask me a question that I cannot answer? Now, there's one thing I want to assure you all of, and that's this. The very best Bible student in this auditorium right now does not have all the answers. You don't have to have all the answers. You have to know where to go get the answers. So, just keep in mind this. God does not allow exceptions for you or I. And finally, probably a foremost concern, extensions. An additional period of time given one to meet an obligation. Their example, my term paper wasn't finished, and so I asked for an exception. Extension, I'm sorry. You can see where this is going, right? Regarding those taxes we talked about before, you can get an automatic extension for filing your paperwork for your taxes. You still have to pay the money. You still have to pay the money you owe by the due date, or you'll pay a penalty on top of what you already owe. But you can have an extension for that paperwork. And that paperwork is where you report to the government how much you've earned, where you earned your money, and all that sort of thing. And here's the thing. We kind of have a report to make also. Hebrews 9:27 says, as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Jesus described that day. Matthew 25, he says in verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory, and all nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. Set his sheep on the right hand, but the goats on the left. The king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Why? Because I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in naked. You clothed me sick. You visited me in prison. You came to me. The righteous will answer, say, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you? When do we see you thirsty and give you drink? When do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you, sick or in prison, and come to you? The king will answer and say, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. Then he went on to tell those on his left hand who hadn't done those things. Verse 41, he'll also say to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Wow. kingdom prepared for us from the foundation of the world? Or hell prepared for the devil and his angels? And you see, this record keeping is done for us. In Revelation 20, verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Folks, we have a finite time, period of time on this earth. We will live, and then we will die. Or we will be alive when the Lord comes back. Either way, we're told in Romans chapter 14, verse 11, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God. Do you see that? When that day comes, everyone is going to know that God is real. And everybody is going to see the situation they're in. Every one of those who claim they didn't believe in God, every one of those who refuse to name the Lord, the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, everyone who refused to obey God and be baptized into Christ, and everyone who stood at the end of every service, clenching the back of the pew, refusing to go forward and repent of their sins. And everyone who says, I think I'm all right. By the way, you're not all right. You don't get to decide if you're right. You just need to let go, to humble yourself before God and obey His instructions on how to be saved. All these people, along with us, are going to stand before God, and these people are going to seek an extension. They're going to say, just give me one more chance, Lord. Now I know. I know you're real. And now I'll do what you command me to do. But you see, you don't get to do that. It's worth noting the statement that Jesus made in John chapter 9. In verse 4, he said, I must work the works of him who sent me. While it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. And I know that Jesus said this. He was, as he was healing a blind man, and he was referring to his work to bring us all to reconciliation to God. But you see, we're kind of in a similar circumstance. We have to take the opportunity we have to obey God and to avail ourselves of the sacrifice of his son, who sacrificed himself to wash away our sins. Become a child of God while we are alive and able to do that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 at verse 2 says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. See, if you've not obeyed the gospel, today is the day of salvation. It's not going to be an extension. You're not going to get more time. When that judgment day comes, you are going to confess, but it'll be too late. Why don't you do it now? While it counts, while it means something. If you've not obeyed the gospel, we stand ready to baptize you into Christ, and you can leave this building a child of God. You can rest assured that you can stand before Christ not seeking an extension because you've done what you need to do while you're on earth. If you have done that, if you have obeyed the gospel, and maybe you've committed a sin, you need to make a public confession of that, or if you just need the prayers of the saints, won't you come as we stand and sing this song of invitation?